This is the Home Tech Podcast Show, number 89, recorded for September 27th, 2012. I am your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a beautiful Bellevue, Nebraska, and posted each week with world-class show notes out at the AverageGuy.tv. You can contact me or the show, podcast at the AverageGuy.tv. Track me down on Twitter. That's just at Jay Collison. Follow the show schedule on our Twitter account. That's where I post what time we're starting. I try to start the show 8 o'clock promptly every Thursday night, 8 o'clock Eastern. I'm sorry, 8 o'clock Central. But if I do make a show change, that's the one you want to follow, at theaverageguy.tv. We've gotten a couple letters. I'm going to talk about them a little bit later in the show. Appreciate you sending us emails. And it's always nice to get some feedback from you guys, especially around the Know It guides that we've been putting out there. So I appreciate those. We'll talk about it a little bit later. Okay, Andrew is out. Christian is out. I asked John Zadler if he'd be on, and John couldn't make it tonight either. It seems like everybody's busy on a Thursday night. But old faithful Mike Howard from JPEG to RAW, who I gave him about, well, I gave you a day's notice, right, Mike?
Yeah, you did. You
okay,
did.
So asked him to come in, and he agreed. And Mike, how are you?
Doing great. You know, this time of year is my favorite. I love the fall.
Yeah.
Having great weather here, too. It's good time for photographers to get out and take some fall colors.
Yeah, and Mike, we were in Branson, Missouri, a couple falls back, and that area of Missouri is just, I don't know if, if Georgia gets like this, but Missouri just lights on fire, and it's just gorgeous down there, the different colors.
Yeah, I love this time. Not only the colors, but the weather itself.
Yeah. So we haven't talked in a while on the podcast. Last time you were on the show, we were giving things away. Drobo, what's going on over at JPEG to RAW?
You know, we're still cranking along. We're on show number 56, so we're a little bit behind you at 89. But right now, we're actually doing a giveaway. We're giving away.
Oh, nice.
I don't know if you can see this.
Yep. No, it's in the.
It's a Wacom Intuos 4 pen tablet. It's mainly for, you know, you can use it for graphic artists, but also for photo editing. It's a very good tool for photo editing. So JPEG to RAW is giving that away right now. We try and do that. You know, just like computers, things in photography, nothing in photography is cheap. Everything's expensive.
No.
And it seems like every time you turn around, you need something else. So it's our way of trying to help out a little bit with our listeners.
Yeah. There was like a dog barking behind me, and we don't have a dog. That was the... It must be on TV or something.
It's not the sound effects that I was playing
no,
earlier.
No, it's not. I was on Facebook, and my middle son is an art student down at the Kansas City Art Institute, and he just picked up a big tablet like that. I don't know. I was going to ask him which one he picked up. He paid quite, you know, it for art school. They absolutely have to have a really nice one.
So absolutely. This is the small. They have a medium, a large, and I think an extra large. If you're going to be doing a lot of graphic artist stuff, like your son probably, you'd want either the medium or maybe all the way up to the extra large. But
what's the retail on that then?
This thing is about $120. I think when you get to the medium and somewhere in the 200s, and then the large is probably over $300.
Okay, and how would somebody win that thing if they wanted to win it?
You can either go to our site, jpegtoraw.com, and there's a link there. It says, you know, Wacom giveaway, or go to our Facebook page, just search for JPEG to RAW, and there's a giveaway link there on our Facebook page.
When are you giving it away?
The end of October.
Okay,
so you still got plenty of time.
Oh, yeah, so head out there, JPEG to RAW, of course, part of the big home server show community that we're all a part of, and so you can get out there and get that done. Speaking of home server show, the meetup is coming. I was just looking. I've got a countdown. I've got a counter on my site, and I think we're under 30 days. Right, it's October 20th, and in Indianapolis, Indiana, and Dave is starting to make preparations for that. I missed the home server show last night. I've just been really crazy busy with work. And I couldn't make the show last night, so I don't know if we've found the place yet, but we are trying to get folks to register. If you want to join us for the meetup, it's a Saturday. It's going to be all day Saturday, like 10 to 4 Saturday up in northern Indianapolis. Open to anybody. We're going to have a bunch of equipment there. A bunch of guys are coming in. Rennie says 22 days. Thanks, Rennie. And we'll have a bunch of equipment there. We're going to have some sessions. We're going to have the tablet that I'm going to talk about here in a second, so you can come out and try Windows 8 Touch. And you're going to, after I get done with my little demo, you're going to want to be there because this thing is pretty sweet. And just a good time for folks to get together and kind of and talk tech. And we'll eat a bunch of pizza, and then we'll be giving away. I think we're giving away a Drobo, and we're giving away some other stuff.
Nice.
So Check that out. Homeservershow.com would be the place to go for all that information if you have any questions on it. Or you want to speak at it, if you want to come out and speak at it, just send me an email and you can do that podcast at theaverageguy.tv. All right, Mike, I know you got some camera stuff to talk about. I want to dive in a little bit to Windows 8 first.
Let's do that first.
I think we've got some really cool things to talk about with Windows 8. I want to get a little backstory from you, though, first, because you and I have been going back and forth on Windows 8 over the last couple months.
Yep.
We've both been working a lot with it. I think I might have had it the longest on actually equipment. I put it on very first thing and became a fanboy right away and started saying, hey, you guys should be doing this. This is great. And everybody, yeah. And you were pretty skeptical. I mean, I remember it first.
I still am, but.
Well, that's good. I like that healthy skepticism, right? It keeps us fanboys in check. By the way, if you're watching the YouTube video of this, if you just look down in the bottom of the screen, you'll see Windows 8 running down there. So if you haven't seen it running yet, we're going to do some big demos with it, but it's running down there. Mike, you've done some things, though. What have you done to kind of to get familiar in the Windows 8 environment? And we have it because we all have TechNet subscriptions, and the RTM version is available in TechNet for testing.
Well, you know, the first thing I did is I ran it in a VM, and I did not run it full screen, and that was a mistake. Not running it full screen in a VM is like the worst possible scenario you can have to test it out.
Yeah, it's not
so good. So that, right off the bat, I hated the thing. Then I ran it in a VM full screen, and that did help it out. It did run a lot better that way. I started to like it a little bit more. And then I've gone a step further. As my wife needed a new computer, and I decided, you know, what the heck? If I'm gonna build her a new computer and put a new operating system and everything on there, I'm gonna put Windows 8. So I put Windows 8, and one of the things I love about Windows 8, it comes with Hyper-V built into it. If you ever use Hyper-V on Windows Server 2003, it's a virtualization where you can run, you know, basically a fake computer on there. And what I did is I took her old Windows 7 machine and made it a machine in Hyper-V. So she had everything she had before. She can get to that. She didn't lose anything. And yet now she has Windows 8. So she's been running that way for, I guess it's been 2 or 3 weeks now, maybe, with Windows 8. And so I have a few observations. One is, as I've slowly taken all her programs that she had, you know, iTunes and Outlook Calendar, only the calendar. She has a special mail program. I've taken them and install them on Windows 8, so she doesn't have to go back into Windows 7. She's going back into Windows 7 very, very little. Mm. So she's doing almost everything on Windows 8. On the other hand, she sees absolutely no use for the tiles, the Metro interface.
Yeah, and she's on a laptop or desktop?
Desktops. She spends all of her time on the desktop. Now, at first, she hated the no start button. But, you know, she doesn't run as many apps, different apps as I do. She may have, you know, Chrome and Internet Explorer, and then maybe 3 or 4 other programs that she is her main programs. So all we had to do was pin them to the taskbar.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Pin those to the taskbar, and then at that point, the start button really is mute. You don't really need the start button.
No, you really don't.
And so now she can get to those there, and for her, there's not a whole lot of difference between Windows 7 and Windows 8. She could care less about Hyper-V, care less about how awesome the new Task Manager is.
Or how fast, how much faster it is.
How much?
Did you give her SSD?
I gave her a much more powerful CPU, more RAM, SSD. So I'm trying to fool her with the fact that Windows 8 is faster.
Yeah.
She does enjoy that. So for now, I think, you know, while I thought she would revolt and I would have an issue, it's a non-event now for her. Windows 8 is fine. She doesn't have any need for the Metro interface. And I've said before, as a business, you know, I would want to have a way to disable Metro. I for a desktop.
Sure.
For a tablet and what you're about to show us there, absolutely I'd want Metro. For a desktop, I don't see a big use from a company commercial standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree with you on that. I think well, I put an article in the show notes, and basically the gist of it was, if Windows 8 fails, Microsoft won't die. And we've talked about this before, and you and I have even kind of talked about what failure means. And so if you want to hear that, go back a couple podcasts. But I really think this is a calculated risk that they're taking, and I think it's at a good time. Windows 7 is still making its way into the enterprise, still, right? I mean, we're still moving. You guys still have XP machines.
We do. We're about
and
half
so,
and half.
Yeah, and so a good number of enterprises, including the government, is still in Windows XP. And so Windows 7, it doesn't make wouldn't make sense for a lot of people to move to Windows 8. So I think Microsoft forcing this out there and saying, you know what, we're not going to give you the start button back. You are going to have the Metro screen, and you're going to get used to it. And what it will do is force some developers to start thinking about Metro style apps, and really getting those and getting that ecosystem going. So I'm all for it because I want those apps. It's the we seem to get more apps all the time in the App Store, and there's quite a few in there, and there'll be more at launch when on October 26th. But I want the developers to be motivated to write Metro apps because we know this is going to be this is the wave of the future, right? I mean, I think the iPad has shown us that it's going to be mobile computing.
Well, what I hope they do is you know, as you get the Metro, and I'm going to still call it Metro.
Yeah, I'm me too.
As you get Metro on a desktop, on the tablet, on the phone, and I guess it's coming to the Xbox 360 too. As you get it on all these devices, and it has a similar look. I really hope they build the ecosystem there that things can move between them. So let's say you're driving home and you've got your phone and you listen to a song on there. You pause it when you come into the house, be able to pick it back up at that same place on your Xbox and, you know, continue that song. And then maybe on your tablet, you can continue it there. As long as you have the same account on all three, on all of those devices, I would love to be able to pick them up and keep going with it like that.
Yeah.
Where I worry about that is we have three Xbox 360s in the house. And I would love to be able to rent a movie from one Xbox 360. And then as we're getting tired, let's go to bed, pause it, go up to the bedroom and pick it back up there.
Yep.
You can't do it.
Not today. I imagine that's coming. I mean, that's a Kindle feature, right? With Whisper Sync and some of those things. So,
and if they do, then this whole Metro interface, I think, the Metro interface combined with that ecosystem will be just awesome.
Yeah. Well, and Tim made a comment in chat that he doesn't think Metro is ready for the enterprise. And I agree. It's not. I don't think they intend it to be honest with you. This is a consumer offering. Everything I hear from the back end guys through the MVP community is that the tools that are coming to manage both RT and Windows 8 Pro in those settings. Well, the Windows 8 Pro is a no-brainer because it's got Windows. It's basic. I mean, it's got a lot of the same Windows 7 components in it. But a lot of the tools that are coming for RT to manage RT tablets will come in the next version. So I don't think enterprises are going to be super fast to adopt those anyway. So there's going to be some early adopters. Depending on the price, there's going to be people, you know, I'm really hoping they come out with a very attractive price to get some folks to buy these things for Christmas. And we'll just have to see what happens. We've talked about this on and off for the last few weeks, so I don't want to beat that point to death too much, but I do want to. It was great to kind of follow your progress with your wife because I did the same thing with mine, and she doesn't even ask me questions anymore. I had upgraded a family member to, well, not to Windows 8. I put an SSD drive in, and that's working pretty well. She'll be ready to go to Windows 8 when it comes out. So I think I'm going to go back to the prediction you made when we talked about failure, and I'm going to say it's not going to be an overwhelming success. I don't think it's going to be as big of a failure. If we're talking numbers, right, I don't think it's going to be as big of a failure as everybody's predicting. Because they're going to roll out new PCs with it. There's some tablets that are going to get sold. You know, I think it will get on some devices.
Here's another problem for them to overcome. So they're being very bold, and I like that about Microsoft. They're being bold with this.
Yeah, I do. Me too.
So they have a number of challenges, and one of them is they, for whatever reason, for a long time now, they've been absolutely horrible at marketing.
Yeah.
So really, the thing you're about to show here with the thing you have behind us, you know that they should almost press record here and use this as a commercial. Because what you're about to do is going to be better than what they're going to pay millions of dollars for advertising. Because I think if they can, you know, why aren't they advertising right now for the RT tablet? Yeah. When is it going on sale? In October 26th?
October 26th. That yeah. Is, yeah.
They
yeah.
should be pounding the airwaves and building up a...
pre-orders.
A pre-orders and getting yeah. that stuff going.
Pricing and pre-orders.
And you're just not hearing anything about it. And I worry from that standpoint on whether they're going to do the right marketing. And by the way, I've got two of those RT tablets coming.
Do you?
Yes. From work.
Okay,
not my
right.
Personal.
For work, yeah.
I told the IT guys, if any of my friends get one before me, you're fired.
Nice. It's good to be the director. Well, I'm going to do a little bit of demo on this, and so some folks will get to see it. This is really cool. So let me back up a little bit. And I was hoping to have last weekend I wrote like four posts, and I only got one of them actually posted. But so I still need to finish this. But right before so last week I had the week off. I was in Madison, Wisconsin, doing some work, and I just couldn't get. I was gone. But the Tuesday before I left, I found on Craigslist, and I think I talked about this on the Home Server show, maybe even my show. I picked up a $200 HP TouchSmart 310. And I think they made the 300 series and the 600 series. And I think the 600 series were 22-inch screens and a little bit of faster processor. And the 300 series were 20-inch screens and slower processors. But so the one I picked up is a 20-inch screen. It's got 4 gig of RAM. It had a 750-gig hard drive in it, a DVD drive. It's basically the all-in-one PC that was shipped, but has Windows 7 on it. And it's worthless with Windows 7. I mean, it's just the Windows 7 has some touch features, but not really worth investing in or using, because it's just Windows 7 is not built that way. Although, now that I've been working on Windows 8, I might actually think twice about that.
So this is the 300 or the 600?
This is the 300. So it's a 20-inch touchscreen. But my thought was, and actually Kevin Schoonover gave me this idea, was to go out and track down on Craigslist, eBay, whatever, some of these TouchSmart devices, because people don't know what they have. And so sure enough, here in Omaha, I found this for $200. So that Tuesday, I picked it up, and then I was gone all week, and it was just murder, because I so wanted to get this device set up, and it was too big. I couldn't take it with me. There's no way I was going to get it back on the plane. So it sat. And so last weekend, I spent a couple hours installing Windows 8 on it and getting it up and running. And it really has created a gigantic Surface tablet, or just a Surface device for me. I use it. I do have a keyboard with it, but I have completely taken the mouse off. So I haven't used a mouse on this thing in 2 weeks because it's totally touchscreen. So I'm going to flip over to the I'm going to flip that over. Guys in chat, if you can let me know if you're seeing the desktop, that would be great. Certainly this desktop isn't new, and this is the device actually if you're watching my screen. It's right behind me there. Good. Okay. So this is a tablet, and it really is touching it now really changes the equation. And, Mike, one of the big differences for me, and I thought at first maybe the touchscreen was broken, because you and I both know when you put Windows 8 on a desktop, to get the start menu to pop back up, you drag the mouse all the way to the bottom right-hand corner of the mm-hmm. screen, right? And the start menu, well, that's not how you do it with touch. So you take your hand and you bring it over to the side UI to the left, and you drag that window out so you can see how I pulled that out. Now, that's pulling out the last program that I ran. And then you just push that back, and out comes the start, the menu. In this case, these are all the applications that I'm currently running. So if I decided to say I was in Chrome, right, this is a desktop, and you're seeing me, you're actually seeing the broadcast because we're doing that. So if I wanted to go back to the desktop, I'm going to pull that out and push it over, and then I'm going to push the start menu down there, and you can see that goes right back. So
that's really responsive, too.
Is that
good? What kind of hardware is inside of HP?
It's a, oh, shoot.
The Core i3?
No. It's even slower than that. Let me see if I can pull that.
That seems very responsive.
Yeah, and I don't even think it has, I don't even think I have the correct drivers loaded for it yet. Because I'm only getting 2 points of touch, and I should be getting all five.
That's what I was about to ask you. Is it multi-touch?
Yeah.
Of course, I'm looking right now on Craigslist, and the cheapest I can find is $400.
Yeah, and this thing retailed new. This thing retailed for $675 or $650 or something like that. It is an AMD Athlon 2 times 2. 245E, so it runs at 2.9 gigahertz.
Okay,
and it's got an ATI Radeon HD 4270 video card in there. And I think it's got a gig of RAM for it in there. So it was manufactured in February of 2011. So it's about 18 months old, 16 months old, something like that. 18, 16, 17, 2 months old. So it's not terribly old either. And for, you know, we know for Windows 8, you don't need that much. You really don't need that much hardware to get this thing running. So that was for me for Windows 8. That was my heart just sunk because I was coming down here to the corner trying to get things to go, yeah. And nothing was working right. And I'm like, oh, crap, it's not going to work. And so I realized, no, you just got to pull that. And you can kind of see me do it on the screen, push that back, and then I can get to any of the apps that I have there. And then, of course, the side UI on the left side or on the right side is you just pull out and you get settings, devices, start, share. You know, you get the same kind of things you're getting in Windows 8. That's really nothing new that's in there. The nice thing is then everything works from a, you know, as you're moving the screen back and forth, that all works. I can make those by spreading them. I can make them larger, or I can make them smaller just with a two finger gesture on the screen, which is kind of cool, right? So you're seeing that's one of the cool things on this, of course, and this is how I was testing the how many points, right? And this is what at first I thought, okay, so how am I going to know, right? I tried putting my fingers on it. So there's a paint paint program that comes with Windows, and in this case you can let's see, hold on, there we go. So you can see then I'm drawing with one finger, and now I can do the two finger right there, but mm-hmm. It will not do the one finger salute. No, just kidding. It won't do the three. It won't do three. It's limited to two.
Two. Yeah.
So that makes me think at this point maybe I don't have the driver salute correctly, because we looked it up in advance, and in this program. So I need it here. I'll push that back up. Hold on, let me tap it there. So you can see on the screen, right? I've got the paint on there, and so really it's now the controls are on the top, which you'd think this. It takes you a second. You're like, I'm going to find them either on the top or the bottom, probably. So I pull that down, and you can see it just pulls those paint in the bottom piece. And I can change the brush or the width. I can clear the screen if I want to and do it that way. So so in this point, right, I've got kind of a blank screen, right? You're just seeing a blank screen. If I want to get back to the programs that are running in the background. Now, you never really have to close applications.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that.
You don't have to. It'll manage those for you. Okay. One of the questions you had is, hey, how do I get rid of these things, right? If I want to close them, because you're used to closing out applications.
Because the first thing in Metro that I decided to show my wife was, hey, let's look at the camera thing. So she didn't press it. I'm acting like you now. With her mouse, she right, clipped it on right, the camera right. thing. And sure enough, her face comes full screen, you know, because her video camera comes on. And she didn't like that. So she goes to close it. And I could tell the webcam was still on. So we could not figure out, how do we turn this program off?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's running over here, right? So I pull that out, and there's all the programs. You see, can you guys see those? Yeah, you can see them on the left. And so those are the ones that are running in there. And so I'm going to just go to the people hub. So I'm going to select that. And those are the folks that I know that are in my people hub. If I want to get rid of it, I just grab it at the top, pull it down. Whoops. I got to get the right motion for that. Hold on. This is the one.
Then I want you to tell me how we do this without a touchscreen.
Oh, hold on. Let me try this one. There it goes. Okay, so I'm in my pictures library. I don't know why that doesn't work on the People Hub, but you grab it, pull it down, and then take it to the bottom like that, and pull it off, and it's gone, and it closes it, and you see it comes back to.
How would you do that with a mouse?
I think
same way.
You take the mouse to the top, and it'll give you a little hand. Okay. And then you just pull, you just drag that down. I'd have to test that. I think that's how you do it.
I'll try that.
These apps that are running in the background again. So I have AccuWeather, and I can just pull that one up here. Maybe I did. One of the things I have noticed is it's not. Sometimes I click it and I didn't hit it solidly enough, mm-hmm. and it doesn't. That could be the
actual touch interface.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Windows 8.
Could be the drivers. Could be whatever. Again, I'm doing this on a device that's. That and then just pull that down, and you see it minimizes it. Take it all the way to the bottom, and just close it, and it brings it back. So you can leave those open. It will automatically then close those for you as you're not using them. It'll start closing them out based on its needs. So I've got some things there. The
now
maps
I know
are pretty
that
cool too.
Go ahead. I know that they want you to integrate with SkyDrive and their email and all that kind of stuff. But what if you're more of a Google person and you have, you know, Gmail and Dropbox, not that that's Google, but and then their Drive, Google Drive. Will all that integrate well too?
Yeah, you know, I haven't tried it yet, but it'll work as well. You just can flip over to the desktop. So you can see there, I like to use Chrome. So I'm going to use Chrome. In this case, I'm going to pop over, well, and I've got this open. Let me minimize that. So you can see the Google, you know, the Google space that I'm here. If I wanted to, so no mouse again, right? So I'm in Windows 7 with no mouse. This is what makes me question, like, would me not
Windows
using
8.
This on Windows 7, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like when I first got this, I thought, oh, Windows 7 and Touch would be junk. But now that I'm using it here, it's the same interface, right? I'm still on the desktop, and I like it. So in this case, let's go to the mail. There's mail right there, so I'm just going to touch that, and it's going to go to the, it's going to load my mail, and there, you know, and I could go through this. It's taking its time, probably because I've got this video going on. But let me close that out. But you can see this interface isn't that bad for touch. I mean, no. I am doing some stuff right here that.
You can really replace the mouse use.
Oh, you know what? This is an account that I don't use email for. That's why there's no email in there. Yeah, I think I'm done with the mouse on this thing. Windows 7 or Windows 8, I would probably use a keyboard and then just kind of touch, especially like Google is pretty nice. You would ask me. I haven't installed the Google Drive or any of those things yet, so I wouldn't be able to tell you.
One thing, do you have that at a slight angle?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And one thing I've worried about with having touch at a not on a tablet is, you know, when you have it on a screen like that, is having to reach out and touch all that time. Does your arm eventually get tired? Because, you know, when you're sitting here typing or even with the mouse, your arms are at rest. If you're spending hours having to interface with it like that, I guess I don't know what you do for hours touching it, but if you had to, it seemed like that would get tiring.
Thanks, Rennie. Rennie sent me an email. I felt so bad that my email account had no emails in there. That
did he send it to the right one? How do you know which one to send it to?
It's actually jim@theaverageguy.tv. So that's what you'd have to send it to. It's an account I use. I just never even check. But yeah, no, I haven't integrated that in at all, Mike, some of those pieces. But you're right. SkyDrive is integrated in there, so I can pop that open if I want and get to the files that I have. On my SkyDrive, this is kind of what that looks like. If I've got some music in there, and if it brings in album art now, so you can start, you can go in there and again, every once in a while on this touchscreen, it takes twice, I think I need to find. You know what'll happen is ATI will release drivers probably in 3 weeks that are for Windows 8.
Yeah.
So right now they're not out there. I haven't checked in 2 weeks, so I wouldn't know.
Well, you know, my wife's old computer is—it's a decent CPU. It's a AMD dual-core 3 gigahertz computer sitting right behind me, and I have a feeling I'm going now that she's fully up and running with no problems. Because I generally install a new system on a new hard drive, so I have the old hard drive. In case something terribly went wrong, I can always, you know, your old stuff is still there. But I think now that we're good, I'm going to take her older hardware and put Windows 8 on it, and have it down here for me as a. As a test, you know,
some hardware
doesn't have that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Mike, you got to get a touch.
I'm gonna have to keep watching.
So I told Sarah when I bought this, she can't hear me. So I told her when I bought this, I was gonna sell this thing as soon as I'm like, I'm gonna take it to the meetup, and when I bring it back, I'm gonna sell it. I'm gonna have a hard time letting it go. Nice. I was showing you earlier. Let's just this one of the other cool things about this. Let's go back to Chrome for a second. And let me go to the Hangout here. And you can see, if I turn the camera on, you should see. Oh, because I have to turn screen sharing off. So let me turn that off. So here's the, I need to pull this over. I was very tempted to actually use, and the light behind me is causing some glare problems.
Yeah.
And you're kind of getting an old retro shot of the basement back. Right?
We are,
remember?
Yes.
When I used to podcast from the basement. So. You can. This is coming from the camera up there, and if I turn that light off, it'd probably be better. But it's got a pretty nice camera. So imagine this isn't a tablet, right? And And I've got this set up in its stand, and I'm doing video conferencing on this. It actually works pretty well.
No, that is really good. You know, as your head starts to block some of that light,
yeah,
the quality of it gets, the quality is not bad at all.
There we go. Yeah. Yeah. No, not. Go ahead.
So this is the 300 series, and you said you got it for 200, but if one of us are, I can't find it for that in my area, and, you know, Craigslist is local. So what would be a good price for something like that? Outside of $200,
for the 300,
for the 3 and the 600. Let's, you know, I'm looking through there, and there's some people selling 600, some people selling 300s.
Yeah, I think if you can get a 300 anywhere between 2 and 3, I wasn't going to go any more than 2. Just to be honest, I was like, I need to do this, and I kind of need to do it on the cheap, and so that was the price I had set. I think for a 600, you know, you could probably go as high as 4. For that, I don't know. Look, I don't know, whatever you're willing to kind of part with, right? I mean, but even after, so this is where I've changed my mind. Even after Windows 8 launches, I mean, my thought was, well, I'll get a tablet. Well, this thing kind of works well as a PC. I mean, there's a lot of, I've been doing some things on it. So for example, let's talk about the email real quick. So let me go into the email, and I probably shouldn't do this because I'm going to be putting things out there I probably shouldn't be showing, but email's open, so let me pull that.
You can get all those emails from Nigerian princes and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So in this case, so I got my keyboard, and this is where having a mic on a stand really kind of helps. So let's go down here. I know I pulled some into my account, so let's pull those in. So you see, I'm just really just touching the screen, and I'm getting exclusive offers from Fab. I have no idea how I got on fab.com, but that's okay. And I think in this case, is there a way? Let's see. Oh, so I'm going to select it and then just delete it. That's a pretty fast way to roll through these things, right? So I'm going to select it and delete it, and I'll delete that one. So it Mike, you talk about using the touch for it. I don't think my hand's going to be up there that long enough where it's going to be a big deal about touching it.
Yeah.
You know, I can just kind of keep, I'm going to roll through these. This account gets, you know, pretty bad email. It's kind of my spam account. If I wanted to create a new one, this is where the keyboard would come in handy. So I'm going to go up there and did you see the keyboard come up?
It did very quickly. Yeah. It went away.
Yeah. So there's the keyboard on the bottom. You can't see it. Oh, there it is. Okay, so it'll be available in the video as well. So there's the keyboard on the bottom, too. And if I wanted to use that, I could put Mike Howard in there. And there you are. And I'm going to come up here and put a message in. Now, I wouldn't type an email out to you this way unless I was saying yes or no or, you know, whatever, but I might say, you know, I might come to my keyboard. And this is where I'm mocking up having that keyboard that comes with the Surface tablet. So thanks for, you know, coming on the show, Mike. And then I'm just going to send that, and it's gone. And that, to me, that is an incredibly efficient way of, you're not moving your mouse around and you know, you're not having to find your mouse, especially multiple keyboards. Now, I have this on a single screen, so you know, I don't know what that's going to be like when it gets multiple monitors, but
now, you know, right, so it'd be interesting, multiple monitors.
I'm digging it.
You've had Windows 7 on that before we put Windows 8, right?
Yes.
And how do you feel from a speed standpoint? Is Windows 8 on par with Windows 7 as far as, you know, speed, do you feel?
I think
know startup is faster with Windows 8.
Yeah, it's very fast.
But what about general use?
I think overall it's more efficient. I mean, you see how I roll, especially with the Metro apps. I mean, those are supposed to be more efficient going in. And so, you know, as I look at them, it's one of those things. Oh, we're not getting slower, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's hard for me to judge on my wife's computer because she got a much faster computer in the process. But I do, you know, even though it's an SSD, I have an SSD on this machine, and it has fairly fast boot up. But my wife's machine is way faster than this one. The Windows 8 is just booting, you know, maybe an order of twice as fast.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's some trickery there. But I guess, you know, what I would say, apples to apples, 7 to 8, you're going to get a speed increase with 8. And there's some trickery going on that makes it load faster and some efficiencies.
As long as it makes me think of this.
Perception is 99% truth,
absolutely.
Right? So if it's perceiving it's going faster, I don't care. Trick me.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I care.
The other thing I did, now that you got this up, which looks pretty cool. I like that full-screen weather thing.
Yeah.
I put some of the themes up for my wife, you know.
Oh, and I haven't messed with those at all.
It's the whole trickery thing there. So she woke up the next morning and had these beautiful themes on there. All part of my propaganda to get her to like it.
Well, you know, you need some wife acceptance factor.
And, you know, like you had said with your wife, you don't hear from her anymore about asking you questions or anything. And I don't either. You know, I asked my wife, how's it going with that? And she's like, what do you mean? It's working. Yeah. I mean, she's not going to be as intrigued and digging into things as I am. So for her, it's working. It's, you know, the desktop is the desktop.
Other Jim, it said typing on an iPad or an Android tablet is not easy, and still be at an angle to see. Oh yeah, because you're laying it down flat, and that's not a great. This is, and I've got it tilted. I don't know. It's tilted maybe like. Well, where's my camera? Maybe like that. All right. So that's kind of the angle I have it tilted at. I know you're having to look at the bottom of the screen for me because we still have Windows 8 in focus. But so this is actually for the desktop. This is a very, very comfortable angle for me to both see the screen. And I'm getting quite a bit of glare off it, to be honest with you, when I look directly at it. In fact, I tried taking some pictures of it this weekend as I was working with it. And I was always – you could always see me, right, in the camera. But
now, that touch – I'm looking at a new one here on Amazon – and does it have like a metal base coming down around the bottom?
Yeah, it does.
And so you can
it's
turn
pretty
it
heavy
at,
too.
You can turn it at an angle.
Yeah,
so you wouldn't carry this thing around.
I could get that. I don't know if you could see how well it's.
Oh, that moved back pretty good.
Yeah. And then all the way forward. I wish it would get a little flatter, to be honest with you, if I could get it down. And I wish it swiveled like this, to be honest, right? It would as you brung it down. As you moved it down, it would go like this, right? And so you could get it completely flat if that's what you want.
You know where that would be awesome? And maybe in Windows 8, just in general, maybe a little bit smaller screen, but putting something like that in the kitchen.
So
I can see my wife having, being on the internet with a cookbook thing or something, and you generally have the weather going or something like this.
This is the Kansas City area. Which, by the way, is the closest Microsoft store that I'm visiting on October 13th. But, awesome. You get some, and on the YouTube it might be difficult to see, but this is, this is the weather app with the live weather. So Kevin Schoonover, who kind of turned me on to this idea, this is, the premise was, hey, these things make a great computer for the kitchen. And because you're probably not going to do work productivity on the computer in the kitchen. It's going to be
absolutely
to access OneNote. And how cool would it be to have your shopping list is in OneNote and you sync you sync the OneNotes up across whatever, right? And then so in the kitchen, Sarah could be leaving notes for me. And then at the end of the day, I check the OneNote and say, do I need to pick up bread and milk kind of on the way home? And you can see there, I just pinched that down, two-finger pinch, just brought that down to, and it'll take a while for all that to catch up, and YouTube's going to do some trickery as well, so you'll have to see some things. It's a lot faster in person than what's happening with screen sharing and some of those other things.
Yeah, we're doing a lot right now. The only problem is, Jim, if I got one of these and loved it down here, I wouldn't want to put it in the kitchen.
No, you would.
I'd need another one.
This one's not going in the kitchen. I'm telling you for sure. This is nice. And if it was 22 inches, it would be even better. You know, I toyed with tonight putting it as my third monitor over here and actually using it to broadcast. I just didn't get it done. So.
Well, the other thing, you know, because I'm running Windows 7 on both my desktop and my broadcast server, is I was hesitant because I feel that a lot of Microsoft version 1 stuff is not stable, and you wait for Service Pack 1 to come out.
Yeah.
I did not do that with Windows 7 because I felt it was so solid to begin with. And from what I've seen so far with my wife's computer, while for whatever reason the beta and the RC candidate, the RC version, all seemed half done.
for whatever reason, this version, you know, my wife has not had any crashes, has not had really any problems. It's been pretty solid so far.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a great, I haven't had any problems here. And I haven't messed with it full time. Every second I get, I'm, you know, doing something with. And I haven't had a lot of time to load apps. But yeah, so far so good. You know, it's, you can kind of see there's a, let's see if I can click this. I don't know what it's asking me to do here. So I'm still new to this, so I don't know what I'm doing. Let's see, turn that. Oh, that's kind of weird. Okay, so I got a little wheel that popped up asking me what I wanted to do. Let's just remove that.
Oh, this is a OneNote?
Yeah, this is OneNote, and I haven't quite messed around with it yet. So I'll need to, this, you
that
can see this is
quite a bit different than the regular OneNote.
This is syncing. How do I get rid of, let's see, how do I get rid of the keyboard? I pushed this button right there. Maybe not. There it goes. Okay. Yeah, a little bit different. This is syncing. There we go. Right now it's syncing, so it's the first time I've logged into it. So it's coming back. We used to keep the home server show notes on in OneNote way back in around show 100. And so you can see here, here's the shows in OneNote, right? Again, having a little touch problem. Just the screen is not as, I don't think it's going to be as responsive as the tablet screens are.
Yeah.
But,
and plus you said you didn't have the drivers loaded for it.
Yeah.
Now this isn't how OneNote looked before for you, right?
When you say before, what is that, on the web?
Wait, I'm using OneNote. It comes as part of Office.
Yeah, so no, this is the OneNote. This is the MX. So this is the Metro version for Windows 8.
Okay.
Yeah. But even there, so you can see not terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not terrible. All the stuff that was on my, you know, I was on the SkyDrive before that was in sync is still there. So pretty cool. And then if I select a link, it's going to open that in, this is in an Explorer 10. And this is the Metro version of that. So there's two versions. There's a Metro version and there's a desktop version.
I don't like this version.
And this is the... Yeah, I think this has got some work to do, for sure.
I don't like... the full screen thing, it confuses me as to how to open up another window.
Oh, so it says, if you turn on Flip Ahead, you can go ahead to the next page quickly by swiping across the page. Your browsing history will be sent to Microsoft to improve how Flip Ahead works. So it's doing some page caching ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like, so I'm going to turn that on. That's wild. All right, so you just saw
it. I got to wait for it to do the page caching.
Yeah, well, I just flipped that. So we got served. I should probably be at the average guy at TV. So
you should be.
Let's get there. Okay, so you can see, I just put in the, and it gave me the choice. The very first choice is the average guy at TV. I do like that suggestion part about Internet Explorer 10. Yeah, so it seems to be...
It also looked like when you first hit it, some little icons came up. Were that like your favorites?
No, it's a smart search. So it's going back through stuff you've looked at in the past. It's trying to make a guess for you. Hey, if you're putting this in... It's like the Google, you know, when you're typing in a Google search and it makes suggestions for you.
Yeah.
Same type of deal.
Okay.
So let's see... that works. I don't know. It's just a swipe. Is it that way?
That looked familiar, that little spreadsheet thing you had there.
Yeah, the one for the cloud. I should just talk about that while I'm there real quick. So let's just pop up here. We'll go into, let me click cloud storage and we'll talk about it while I've got it up. Yeah, so if you, oh, look at that. Oh,
there we go.
Do you see that? Do you see how nice that is? Holy cow.
So
do
you
that
do
in Windows 7, my friend.
You can do this whole show from a sharing of your Windows 8 desktop.
Yeah. You know what? I mean, what would be great is if it was right here. You can't see that on the screen.
Right.
If it was right to my right and I was just doing this, right, I wouldn't have to turn. I put it here because I wanted you all to see the form factor. And what it looked like.
And you had mentioned that you may switch over your broadcast server over to Windows 8.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet just because I haven't had time. But I think after this experiment, I think I'm ready. So, although it's not a touch screen, and so I'm just not quite sure if that you know,
what advantages you get out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Works on Windows 7 and it's tested. We had, let me just make a mention. So I'm updating this cloud storage Know It guide. We've changed over from survival guides to Know It, KNOW, Know It, or Know IT. Those that we're doing some themes with that. So if you go out to theaverageguy.tv and look for the Know It guides, they're over on the right hand side. We're building those out.
Do you spell guide?
GUY, because it's the Know It guy. That's I bought knowitguy.com and the knowitguy.com. And so, yeah, it's kind of a play on the average guy, and now we're going to have some Know It guides that that kind of are a little more, not necessarily for the for the average guy, so to speak, for more of the tech folks that I attract. And so we're going to still try and hold on to the average guy brand, but these Know It guides will be more for advanced tech users and such. So if you haven't been out, take a peek at that. But I made some changes to it recently, and I've been adding more. I wanted to say thanks to Rennie. Of course, a faithful listener every week and joins us. He had sent me some links for things to add to this. And actually, I got totally ripped off, and I'm going to show you how here in just a second.
Yeah, I wanna hear
it's
this.
A great feeling when you get ripped off, by the way.
Did you add Backblaze to this?
What do you mean?
We had talked about Backblazes.
Oh, no, I have not put those in there yet.
So yeah. I think you had talked about this is going to be like a living document almost that you will update it as it goes along.
Yeah, and Daniel Richter had sent me about six more services that I had not caught. So Daniel, one, I appreciate you doing that. It takes me a little bit of time I do some research on them, and you'll see there's a lot of information in this guide about each of the services, including some commentary. So it takes me, I don't know, probably 30 minutes per service if I know it, probably an hour per service if I don't, because I'm digging in there a little bit trying to find those things that are good for you.
This is going to be the definitive guide on cloud storage.
I think it could be, to be honest with you. That's really what I'd like it to be. And then as things get updated, I mean, the reason I put it here, Mike, is because people ask me questions about it all the time, right? My friends say, hey, what should I do? Right. You and I hear this. I know your friends do this too. Hey, I lost my pictures or my PC crashed. And you say, well, did you back it up?
Restore from your backup.
Do you have a copy in the cloud? And so I started putting this together so we could refer it to our friends. So it is a living document for that reason. So I want to show you. So look at if you look on the screen again, look at the kind of the format I have here. So I've got this matrix up top that's got everything priced by size. So it's a really easy way to look at it. Here, I'll zoom in a little bit so you can see that. Look at that. It's just nice. This makes a nice podcasting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. and then as you come down, it'll say, do they have a desktop app, mobile app? Where do your files reside? Because they don't always reside on your PC. Sometimes you have to just move them to the cloud, like in Amazon's case. Can I share them, the max file size, and then helpful links and comments, right? Okay, so look at that real quick. And, Mike, I know you want to ask a question. While you're asking that, I'm going to bring up – let's see, how am I going to do this? Go ahead.
And you know, the last part you said about where do the files reside? Because that was a question somebody asked me about Dropbox. And at first I did not know, and it took me a little bit of research to find out. With Dropbox, it actually – the files are still on your computer, right?
They are.
Yeah, Dropbox, so, they are. And I think that – so if I have Dropbox here at my house and Dropbox at my office, what Dropbox is doing is syncing the two.
Mm-hmm.
But by default,
you can shut that off if you
right.
But by default, yeah.
But they are also on Dropbox themselves, aren't they? So like, let's say if I mm-hmm. were to, if both computers were lost, they're still there on Dropbox. Or if I'm on my home computer and I've lost the internet connection, I can still get to those things because they're local.
Right. Yep. Yeah. And Dropbox is good that way. You need to know where you're moving your files to. One of the disadvantages to Dropbox is if you say you have a laptop and you're on a metered connection and you install Dropbox and all of a sudden, you know, you got 10 gig of stuff in your Dropbox and it starts immediately syncing. So you have to be very, very careful about that. And that's why I'm trying to get as detailed as I can without getting too many details, right?
No, I think that's great to say where the files are stored.
Okay, so let me share my screen here, and I will bring up the guys who have clearly ripped me off. Give me a second to bring that up here. Screen share is not working as well as I like to like it to. Or maybe my mouse is not working. Okay, so if we go over to the... So now I'm showing you kind of what they did, right? So you can kind of see there's box, and then next to it is name and free cloud storage and extra storage available and info, right? That's all kind of right there. So look at that format, and then look at my format.
Wait, right? who's that?
So this is network... This is so Rennie had sent me this link and said, "Hey, look at these guys, right? This is Network World, right? These are pretty big players out there."
Yeah.
And this post came out on September 25th, okay? So pretty recently. And again, look at how it's set up, Mike. Look where the icons are in the upper right, uh-huh. The upper left-hand corner, and see how there's kind of written information there. Okay, so that's them. That's Network World, right? And then okay, so then look at Jim's post. Jim posted his on originally on September 9th, so you know maybe 2 weeks before it. And boy, their format looks an awful lot like mine.
It sure does.
I think they ripped me off.
it means somebody from there is following you.
Maybe so. So Network World, I appreciate. You could just give me a little credit for it. Although, you know, it's not that big of a deal because it would be an intuitive kind of thing. But it does look an awful lot like my post.
Sure.
Anyways, Rennie, thanks for sending that over to me. He was like, oh, hey, here's some more. You know, one of the things I don't like about this Network World post is they make you do that. They give you three and then you got to go next to go to the next page and then three and go next.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to my page, they're all on one page. You can just scroll through. If you go down to the bottom, I'm still converting from one version to another. I set this up this is how you know it's living, right? So I set this up the first time and I didn't like, I put it in boxes and I didn't like it. So I'm moving it to this new, look.
The way it looks at the top.
Yeah. So I go from this look here, where it's kind of everything's in one, you know, you've got the, like that. And then it used to look like this, where everything was kind of in a matrix.
Yeah.
And that was not as easy to read or see, so I'm making some changes. So we'll continue. And in fact, I uploaded today to save my changes, and I just copied the things I'm looking for at the very bottom. So you guys can see this is a very, very much a working document. If you have comments or you want to add suggestions to what we're doing, let me know. I'm in a really busy time, so I'm not as fast to update things as I've been in the past.
And a little spreadsheet at the top is a little table at the top is helpful too.
Yeah, I wanted you guys to be able to compare prices, you know, across services, because that's what I would only do this if this is what I wanted for me. It's not that I don't care about you guys, but I first care about me. So what I wanted to be able to do is say, okay, what's the cheapest cloud-based? If I'm going to recommend this to somebody, what's the cheapest one out there? And this spreadsheet lets you do that.
All right, so here's the obvious question. So far, and this is a living document, so maybe your opinion will change over time. But for you, what would you say is which one of these backup solutions would you choose?
Yeah, that's a complex question because I'm going to actually choose one based on what I'm using it for, based on price.
Okay.
So as an example, I'm moving all my music to the Amazon cloud. So okay. That's a choice I'm making, not necessarily based on price. So I pay $25 a year to have almost unlimited songs up there. They give you like 250,000, and there's no way I'll ever have that much music.
Oh, so they base it upon song, not upon file size.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So you get 250,000 curated songs. If it's the original copy of it, they'll actually improve the version of it. And so if you uploaded it at 192, you can re-download it at 256.
Wow, nice.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. iTunes does the same thing. So they're in a war there.
iTunes.
Yeah. I'm using I use Dropbox for sharing and almost no storage. Because it shares so easy. Right? I mean, it's by far one of the best platforms, and most people are on it. So it makes sense to share on Dropbox. Most of you guys know, if you listen to me on the Home Server Show, Voila has become my favorite only because they've grandfathered me in with 140 gig of space, which is, I just got a note, is going away. So I'm going to have to move that. Yeah, they're giving me half of it. So for the next 6 months. They're going to reduce it down. So I'm going to see what's going to happen. I'm leaving my data up there. I got it backed up on the home server, so I'm good. But I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to see what they do to me when
they're just going
to
delete half.
I don't
data?
Know. That's what I'm going to see.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm gonna kind of see what they decide to
are
do.
Are they shutting down the business, or are they just deciding to shrink people?
Well,
it's a good way to run people off.
I have a. They started a new model, and the model was a paid model, and they grandfathered me in with 160 gig for free. Well, that's ridiculous for free, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're slowly. I could pay for their service. So if I wanted to go back and get the same data that I same size that I have now, right? So I'm going to come out here. I'm going to look at Voila. Their 20 gig is a $40 plan. Their 50 gig is $80. Their 100 gig is 130. So all I could get, I can't even get that much. I can get 130. For 130 bucks, I can get 100 gig. Well, if there are cheaper options for that. I could get 100 gig at Amazon. Either Amazon or SkyDrive would actually be the cheapest for 50 bucks. And actually with SkyDrive, I would get 50 plus whatever I had gotten for free. So we all got 25 gig for free back because we were all early adopters on SkyDrive. I would have 75 gigs.
And how much is that for 50 gig on SkyDrive?
$50. It's a dollar gig.
$50 a year.
Yeah, a year.
Okay.
Yep. So, Mike, that just gives you an idea. That's how helpful that matrix is, right? You can quickly go through and say, okay, what am I using it for? How am I using it? What do I need? And how does it compare to others?
Yeah, you covered music and file sharing. What about somebody... maybe somebody like you as a photographer who's not going to have a big collection, or somebody who's a serious photographer who's going to have a big collection. You know, that's more of a, not so much of a sharing, but more of a backup.
Right.
Because, you know, we talked about backup time after time again. You want a local backup and an off-site backup. So for what have you come into anyone that you would say is the leader?
I like SkyDrive at this point for photos.
Okay.
Because it integrates really well with Windows 8. And if chances are, if I'm going to be showing somebody my photos or I want access to my photos, I'm going to want access to them on my PC. And so, here I have a funny picture up there right now.
But again, that's for sharing. What about for backing up?
No, that'll store them in the cloud as well.
Do you have to remember to put them up there, or is there some kind of app that will put them up there?
You know, that's a good question. I think right now, so... Today, when I take a picture on my phone, it automatically goes to Google Plus.
Yeah.
And it automatically goes to Dropbox. That's today.
Okay.
So if you were asking me what I would use today, that's what I would tell you. That's how I'm practically. And that's great. I got two copies, and I use them for different things, right? If I want to post it to the blog, I'm going to log into Dropbox as I'm writing the blog, and I'm going to pull those pictures over and put them in my blog that way. It's easy to share them on Google Plus. It's also easy on my phone to share them from anywhere.
So
that system just works.
I on the phone, you know, putting them on Facebook, putting them on Google is just so easy. But, you know, if you're a DSLR shooter and you're going out and shooting, you know, gigabytes of photos every shoot, something like SkyDrive is not going to work for you.
Yeah. So what do you recommend? Or Dropbox. I mean, you're in that space, right? I don't take a lot of pictures. If you are taking a lot, what are you finding at this point?
For my phone, I'm like you. I use Dropbox. I use Google Drive. I don't use SkyDrive. Not because I have anything against it. I just don't have that set up.
Yeah.
However, for my DSLR, I am using CrashPlan. I use CrashPlan for a lot of my data. So what I end up doing, and that's because I've forced it over here. What I do is, you know, I download the photos. It goes to my local computer. It goes to my local backup. And then my local backup, which is running Windows storage server, is running CrashPlan that then automatically starts sending it up to CrashPlan. So, I don't know how that CrashPlan stacks up against your others there. Somebody should go and check that out, you know, to see how it stacks up. But for me, that because they have unlimited storage for about 50 bucks a year, and I've got 1.8 terabyte of data up there, is CrashPlan's working for me.
Yeah. And that's a great price per gig, by the way. I mean, you're
I'm getting my money's worth out of it.
Oh, yeah. For 50 bucks a year, are you kidding me? And if you're a Carbonite customer, or really if you're anybody, you can get a free year of CrashPlan right now. So head over there. You don't even really need to be a Carbonite customer. just head over there and get it. So if you haven't tried it yet, you should.
And somebody asked me about Smug Mug. So for photographers, there's a lot of choices, actually. There's a paid Flickr account you can do, like the Pro Flickr, where you can upload full-size photos. And for Smug Mug, you can also upload full-size. That's more for the serious photographer, though.
You had brought up Crash Plan. So at the bottom of this sheet, I have all the backup offerings. So Pogo Plug, Carbonite, Crash Plan, Acronis, and Sugar Sync are the ones I have here. Doesn't mean there aren't others. Those are the ones I started with. And so by far, you can get, Crash Plan is a great deal when we talk about that $50 unlimited plan.
Mm-hmm.
There is, Acronis does a nice job. For $50, you get 200 gig at Acronis. So if you're in that space and you're backing up some stuff, you can do that. If you're talking $50 worth of stuff, those are by far the best. Carbonite does have some nice offerings. I mean, for $60, you get unlimited there as well.
Yeah.
Carbonite has three different plans, and they do. You get different features available based on what you pay for at Carbonite. So they add features to your backup if you go that way. But again, that's all out there on that document.
And they asked in chat. Kevin asked in chat, does your 310 there have Beats Audio?
I don't know. I don't know if
that's a joke question or if that's so serious.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see if I have. Let me pull that. It does have audio. Let me see. I don't know.
Look at that later.
Yeah. Kevin, you have to let me know if you're joking with me or not. I can't look that up. I just don't know. I might have missed the joke if it was one. Yeah. Well, Mike, we've been talking almost an hour and 15.
Wow, that passed by fast.
Yeah, well, I told you we had a lot of Windows 8 stuff to talk about, and I think you can kind of sense from my presentation here. By the way, I'm going to give a very similar presentation at the Home Server Show meetup in October 20th in Indianapolis. So if you think you're anywhere near the area, you come out. You're going to get a chance to mess with it all day too. The thing will be
there. We're going to get to touch it.
Yeah, it'll be there all day.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it'll be very cool if you want to come out and give it a run. Okay, so any other residual Windows 8 stuff that I do want to chat a little photography with you here real quick, but because we don't get I know you get to talk a lot about it on your show, any other thing on Windows 8? I do have a Windows 8 Know It guide as well. I almost said survival. A Windows 8 Know It guide as well. And so I got some feedback from some folks this week. Kevin had just said in chat, there's a Windows 8 in 8 minutes video that's out there. So if you kind of want to know, if you want to just kind of get the gist of Windows 8, I've linked to some videos and some blogs and such. There's some great stuff around Windows 8. Again, if you've got links, this is a crowdsource tool. So if you got great links that you're finding, send them to me. I'll get them updated and give you the credit for them as well. So anything else on Windows 8, Mike?
No, we'll just keep going with my wife and see how that works out. I think at this point it's a success. I don't see anything from now that,
You don't see a reason why she would stop.
No, I think we've made it past the hurdle,
and
now I don't have to worry about it.
Oh, yes.
Yes. It worked out great. And my kids look at it and go, do not put that on my computer. But and that's part of the hurdle Microsoft's going to have to come over, because I think people's initial reaction may not be positive. And that's why the marketing is so important, to see that in action to sway them. Because I think at first glance, it's going to turn some people off, and some people are going to like it. My fear is that it's going to turn more people off than it's going to turn on. And if you don't have the marketing behind it, you may not overcome that. Because once people start to use it, then it'll be better.
Yeah. They'll get over some hurdles. And then once gamers find out that it's got a really efficient, gaming engine or whatever, maybe it does or it doesn't. I'm making that up, by the way. It'll just be, then they'll all have to have it. And it's a $40 upgrade, so it's not horribly expensive either.
Well, and it's got holographics too.
What's that?
3D. It's holographic. Like in Star Trek, it displays the holographic. It's got
rumors.
It's got lasers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it cooks your breakfast for you. And so, Mike, let's talk. What's hot right now in the photography world? I mean, what are you guys? Are there any? Is there any kind of? Windows 8 is hot, at least from a Microsoft ecosystem. What are you guys talking about?
Maybe not anything quite as hot as that, but one of the things that a lot of people, and I just did it myself. So I'll get it right here.
Of course you do.
I just made the upgrade from my old camera to this new camera, and it looks pretty much like the old one. There's nothing special, but it's what they call full frame. So in the and they still sell the ones that are not full frame, that are what they call crop sensor. So what a difference is if you look at a lens, this is not a lens, but of course it is some, let's use it as a symbol of a lens. It's circle, right?
Right.
Your sensor, though, is more of a square or rectangle. With a crop sensor, I'm using props here that are not meant for what we're doing.
You're good.
But for a crop sensor, you've got a small section of the center of the lens that is being used to capture the image, okay? That is using the absolute best section of the lens. The edges of the lens are what is the weakest part of a lens. As that curve happens, out at the edges is where the weakest part, not like structural weakness, but image quality weakness happens. So, you know, the crop sensor lens, that's great. You're using a sweet spot of that. But there's disadvantages to that. I don't want to get too in-depth here, but the depth of field, how much of your shot is in focus. And when you're doing people shots, you want you've seen those pictures before where the person's in focus, but there's a nice creamy blur of the background behind them. That is very appealing and looks very nice. And then digital noise, all that little grain that you see in an image, is worse on a crop sensor. So when you go to full frame, let's turn this around. It's much bigger. It's taking much more. It's going right up to the edges of the lens. So there's a little bit of an issue there with the, you got to have a little bit better quality lens to make sure you don't have issues there, or you might have to do a little bit in adjustments in software. Recently, this camera that I had that I just showed was not quite the Pro line, but one step down from the Pro line. Nikon and Canon just come out with their entry level full frame camera, and for Nikon it's the D600. It's, you know, when I say entry level, you know, what's the price of that? It's around $2,000.
So still pretty expensive.
Still pretty expensive.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's entry level to get in on a full frame camera that's going to give you that great blurred background, is going to give you much better noise characteristics. And why you care about that is when you get into bad light, you can bump up the sensitivity of the sensor, which is called ISO. You can bump up that sensitivity and continue to take pictures in lower light without having that noise is going to destroy the image.
And as you decrease the ISO, right, you open that. Open that wider, or it just gets more sensitive?
So there's three components to exposure. One is how long the shutter's open. That's the shutter speed.
Right.
How big open it is, and that is called the aperture or f-stop. And then the third component is ISO, and that's the sensitivity of the sensor. Almost like a gain on audio where you turn it up the gain or turn it down the gain. There's a base gain, and then you can turn it higher to make it more sensitive. As you make it more sensitive, it adds digital artifacts to the image.
And in the old film days, was that film speed that was ISO?
It was. It was called film speed, ASA. You would get 400 speed film.
Look at me, I actually know something. Yeah. It's kind of scary.
You know, in the old days, you'd have to get film, and you stick that, let's say, ASA 800 or ASA 1600 film in your camera, and that's what you shot with. That was it.
Yeah.
If you wanted to shoot with something else, you needed to put other film in. Now it's just a dial on the camera. You just switch it to something else.
You'd have multiple cameras, right? So if you were shooting an event where you wanted a different speed, or you knew you were going to need to change fast, you'd have to carry a couple cameras with you.
Absolutely.
With that film loaded. Yeah.
Yes.
I remember those days when you go to a wedding and the photographer would have almost a case just for his film, right? I mean, he would shoot rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls of film.
Because not only were you shooting rolls of film, but you had to have multiple types along with it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, Tim out in chat asked, is the D600 overpriced at $2,000? And, you know, maybe a little bit. I was hoping it would come out somewhere around $1,500. It does have, you know, HD video. The new SLRs are also coming with video. It's not going to be as good as, let's say you go to a soccer game and you've got your old, you know, your digital video camera that you walked around, you're moving around, you're taking video with it like that. An SLR really wants to be like tripod mounted or still, where you're doing more, controlled environment video. But when you do that, it is excellent video.
Is that because the stabilization, it's not really as designed for stabilization software as some of those video cameras, right, have this stabilization built in, which actually manipulates the image in real time to give you that more stable look or feel, so it doesn't feel like the camera's shaking.
Yeah, that could be part of it. I think at first, at least, with these things, they weren't great at focusing. So you basically wanted the focus be in one spot and have your action move through that focus mm-hmm, point. Mm-hmm. They have gotten better with that. But, you know, like they filmed one of the shows of House with an SLR.
And was that a D Mark?
That was maybe a Mark II or something like that. Yeah, it was a Canon.
Right.
5D Mark II, I think it's something like that.
Yeah.
That was a Canon. And, you know, in that kind of situation, while you do have TV shows and movies where there's people running around with cameras, a lot of those times those things are mounted on something, and they may have them on, like, little railroad tracks where they're moving around, something like that. But they are not bouncing around with them like you would in a soccer game.
Yeah. No, and I've seen some of those movies that they did with them, and it's great. But you're right, I think they're...
Yeah,
they are mounting them, and that seems kind of weird, right? To have this little tiny camera taking—I shouldn't say tiny, because yours is pretty good size, but it's bigger than—I mean, it's smaller than the video cameras they use when they make movies.
Well, and when I used to be at a soccer game, and I would shoot with a much bigger lens than this, so it would be a huge lens. I would have people come up to me, and this was years ago, ask me if I'm taking video, and at that time there was no video in SLRs, and I would think, you know, you're an idiot. No, this is not a. This is a camera. This
I'm
is not a
photographer. Not
this,
a.
This is not a video camera, but now that is the case. It's, you know, they've moved more and more stuff into there.
It does give you more options, better. Right? Because if you're in a spot where you do want to capture video of it, you can just flip that over and make that work. Yep.
Now, one more downside to go if you're like me and you were on a crop sensor camera and you're now moving to a full frame camera. All your lenses may not work on the full frame camera.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, in a Nikon world, the crop sensor is called DX, and the full frame is called FX. You probably can't see it, but there's a little bitty FX. Barely see it. Little bitty FX on this camera. So, if I have a lens that is a DX lens that worked on my. Yeah, you can't see that. A lens that worked on my crop sensor camera, when I put it on this camera, it'll still work, but it's going to work in only crop mode, which means that my 12 megapixel camera is now only a 5 megapixel. So there is a disadvantage where all your lenses may not work. If you're on a crop sensor camera now, I would advise to stop buying crop sensor lenses. You know, you may already have some, but I would stop. I wouldn't buy any more. Because at some point, someday, you're probably going to want to go full frame.
Okay.
So there you go.
That's good. That's good. That's like a little morsel from JPEG to RAW.
Yeah, and I tried to do it with some props. So you
can... Yeah, no, very good. You got all kinds of crap on that desk.
I do.
What's the weirdest thing that you can grab right now?
How about a ketchup packet?
That's awesome.
Is that weird enough?
That is good. If you've been listening, if you've only just started listening to the show, Mike and I have been doing this for a while, and he always can just pull anything. Every time we're talking, I imagine this endless space desk that he has in front of him, because he seems that he can pull anything out of there. And you know what? We didn't do a great job. We didn't do a great job of letting your listeners know you're going to be over here tonight. I didn't do a great job of posting that. That's okay. Well,
Jackie's here. Jackie's here. So
she's the faithful. She's like the JPEG to RAW groupie that comes over whenever you're over here. So Jackie, great to have you.
Before we head out, Jackie, did you catch our show Tuesday night? I wonder if she saw the props that we had for Tuesday night.
Yeah, when is that going? When is that show going to go live on your?
Well, I was going to work on it tonight.
On demand. Okay, yeah, but I
so it looks like night. It's going to be tomorrow night.
This weekend.
This weekend, yeah.
She saw it.
She did. She did get to see the prop. The prop was.
Yeah.
A wig.
The reason is the guest had a fro.
Yeah, the guest had a fro.
He had a big fro. So. Well, wow, that was, you know, it's fun to get through Windows 8 and work through some of those things. I'm sure that's going to show up again. I mean, it's going to sit here until the 20th at least when we head out to Indianapolis. And again, if you want to join us in Indianapolis, you're welcome to do that. Just head out to thehomeservershow.com. There will be a link You can sign up for it. Actually, if you go to theaverageguy.tv, I've got a countdown counter there. That was redundant. Sorry about that. But I've got a countdown graphic. Click on that, and it'll take you. You can, if you think you might want to join us, you can click on that and get some more information about the meetup, and the sign-up is for it there. We're just asking people to RSVP. I'm still working on Mike Howard. He doesn't want to drive this. It's 600, right? It's under six, isn't
it? It's under 600 miles, yes.
Yeah. You should.
You know, I've complained about it, but you know, this last weekend I drove 200 miles just driving up into the mountains looking for places to shoot.
Yeah.
That was just driving around.
You could be there. I think I'm leaving Thursday. I'm going to try and hang out with Chris Lux in St. Louis Thursday night. I have a beer with him, you know, whatever. I don't get enough Chris Lux time. And then that morning I'll head out of St. Louis, and it's a pretty quick, I don't know, it's pretty 6 or 7 hours from St. Louis to Indianapolis, maybe.
Pretty quick.
And oh, hey, when you live in Omaha and it's 3 hours to anything, it's like after you run a marathon, running a half marathon is not that big of a deal.
Okay.
So I just, this last Sunday I got, if you're a runner, if you listen, by the way, if you listen to us at all and you're a runner, I haven't really talked much about my running, but you can go out to theaverageguy.me. That's my running blog, ME like me, love to connect with you on running. I'm a big guy. I'm the size of a middle linebacker in the NFL. I'm 225, and I still I finished a half marathon this last Sunday and got it done. So it
That's
just
awesome.
You don't have to be a skinny, super fit athlete to be fit. You can do that as well. And so theaverageguy.me. There you go. Get you out there.
Very good.
I also want to let you know we also have all the links to automatically subscribe or to watch this on demand out at theaverageguy.tv. So look for those links in the right-hand column along with all the other stuff that we have out there. Of course, you can find us on Reddit, YouTube, iTunes, Google+, even Facebook by searching The Average Guy Podcast. Please leave some comments, likes, votes, plus ones, all those other helpful social signals that help us know that you're engaged in what we are doing. And, of course, there's a very active Facebook group right now. We tend to be a little bit Windows Phone and Windows 8 heavy, but that's okay. That's what's going on right now, and the guys are kind of engaged around that, and I'm totally cool with that. And so if you want to join in on the Windows 8 discussion, if this demo, and hopefully if you're listening to the audio, come back out to YouTube and get on the YouTube channel, and you can watch. You'll want to watch the video because we did a lot of demo tonight that that you will want to see. All that stuff. And if you're on YouTube right now, before you go tonight, click the plus one or the like or the whatever. Give that stuff always helps us out. And don't forget we have an Amazon affiliate link out there as well that helps me pay the bandwidth. I finally made it. It takes me about a year to get the AdSense up to the point where it pays for the website. So it's almost on a nice... It's actually paying for itself at this point. So,
and speaking of that, before you leave, don't do it yet, but right below us is an ad, right? Below the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it yet because it will take you off the page.
Yeah.
But right below us is an ad, and as you go to leave, click on that, and Jim Show gets a little bit of credit.
Yeah, that helps. That helps. Every little bit helps.
Don't do it yet.
Helps me buy. No, don't do it. Helps me buy these kinds of things so I can do the demos that we do for you and that kind of stuff. So I always try and reinvest all that stuff back into the show. So, Mike, thanks for being the quick, Johnny on the spot, so to speak.
A lot of fun. Enjoyed watching the Windows 8 demo.
You bet. It was good. And thanks for sharing. And again, if people want to find you at JPEG to Raw, that's JPEG 2, the number 2, and
JPEG
Raw.
JPEG 2 Raw, yes.
And or they can find you at NavStudios.com, right? That's the site. And or JPEGToRaw.com gets you there either way. If you're a photographer, you want to be out there, that's where all the cool kids are. And Mike's building a nice community out there, a nice friendly community. You can do that as well. We'll be back next Thursday. A little questionable. I'll be in Southern California. And so I've got to figure out how – this is travel season for me. So I've got to – every fall and spring, there's about 2 months where I got to kind of figure out the show schedule. So watch that Twitter account. It just kind of depends on how things go. I actually haven't even lined up any guests yet. So I still have to – I didn't know if I was going to be able to get it done or not. So we'll try and throw a quick show together next Thursday live from Southern California and from the heart – maybe from the heart of the campus at University of Southern California. And that would be kind of fun because you don't want to leave the campus there for sure. So thanks for coming out tonight. Thanks for listening. Stay around for the post show. We'll talk for a few more minutes, but this will end the audio recording. Everybody, thanks for coming out. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
You've been waiting to do that.
I have been waiting. I came so close one time to doing this.
Oh, no.
But I said, nope, I'm going to keep it clean.
If I was asking questions and I wasn't getting anybody to answer.
It was, you were trying to do something on the Windows 8 machine.
Yeah, it wasn't. It is still a little clumsy in some spots.
Yeah.
You know.
And I want it to be said that I found these before Andrew. So when Andrew's on next and he sees these and goes wild, yeah.
Yeah, so don't tell Andrew, please. Please don't tell Andrew.
He's going to eventually find them. You know he is.
I know, but you know how he is. He likes to goof around with all those things. I can't keep the guy.
Yeah. So Randy says the crowd goes wild. So Randy, there's a few of these out here. And I won't go through all of them, but you heard the clapping and there's the drum roll.
Oh, that'd be nice. And the winner is when we
exactly.
Do
I could see me actually using that one.
Yeah, yeah.
Some of the others maybe not. The clapping.
Which app is this now? And
this is just the Google Effects.
Oh, so I never even turned on my lower third tonight. I'm such a rookie.
I didn't either.
What a loser.
Either. But you know, there's the clock.
Does it have Jeopardy? That
no,
would be cool.
There's not a whole lot. So I take it that the chat, you guys can hear those noises. It's not just Jim and I, because the crowd. Somebody said the crowd goes wild. So
yeah, I think Rennie heard it. That's pretty cool.
I wonder what the sound. What is the sound?
What's
quality
the name
like?
Of it called?
It's just the Google Effects.
Google Effects. Oh. Okay.
Right, Fail Tune. Price is Right. Fail Tune. They have.
Ooh, they have a rip.
They have that.
Nice. They have a Warlight. They have a game called Warlight, which is like Risk for Google Plus Hangouts. So you could play. You remember how we used to get together and play Risk on the? Do you ever play Risk?
Oh yeah, I love Risk.
Yeah, and on the board game. So they have a game in. So now you can play it in a Hangout. I wonder what that'd be like.
Huh? They have that one.
There you go for the joke.
It looks like I am going to play them all.
So look at all the free. Just look on the screen for a second.
Okay, wait. The app you just talked about, the Risk thing, was Google Plus.
That's
Hangout.
A Google Plus. Yeah.
Now you're back.
But
you're
I'm
on
back
the
to the
apps
this
Windows
is
8.
Windows 8. Yeah. I mean, this is the top 99. So it's just the and there's quite a few of them out there. I mean, it's not NBC News and
You know, the other Jim out there in chat saying if we had the lower third. It might have blocked some of that. But, you know, what we're doing here, though, is you're doing a screen share, so it probably wouldn't have blocked it.
Yeah, the screen share one wouldn't have had the lower third. But, other Jim, I appreciate you being kind to me and blowing it by not putting the lower third up.